Hey, this is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we're from Rock and Roll High School every first and third Wednesday at 8 p.m.
And you're listening to WGXC, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, baby. Wow.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today on Thanksgiving, we've got a special broadcast with just the local news, and then we'll air the 2012 interview from Ron Pilhowski with Alice Brock, the activist and restaurant owner of Alice's Restaurant. And we'll hear the iconic Thanksgiving Day tune on this hour on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network.
This is the news.
This
is the network.
This
is the news.
This
is the network.
On Wednesday, November 30th, Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers from Catskill celebrate the release of their new single, I Believe in You, from the album How Many Roads, performing at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. That's Wednesday, November 30th at 8 p.m. at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Lex Gray and her Urban Pioneers band that usually features Sonny Rock, Ed Wiliski, Brian DeWan, and Tim Farrell. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this show and many others.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowan. You've tuned in to the WGXC local news for Thursday, November 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that a group of Hudson Valley Democratic Party chairs has written to longtime state chair Jay Jacobs, asking him to implement four common-sense reforms to increase Democratic operations, provide robust support for county committees, expand and diversify the voices involved in decision-making, and strengthen the party's infrastructure ahead of the next election cycle. The general election this month saw mixed results in the Hudson Valley, ranging from successes in Ulster and Westchester counties to, quote, disappointing outcomes, unquote, for statewide candidates in several counties, as well as the loss of state legislative and congressional seats previously held by Democrats. Last week, two letters were circulated, one calling on Jacobs to step down from his party leadership role and the other from county chairs offering their continued support. The members of the Greater Hudson Valley Coalition declined to sign on to either letter. That group wrote their own letter to Jacobs asking state leadership to convene a session of the state Democratic Committee's executive committee before the end of the year to present, discuss, and adopt a plan to implement their reforms. The letter is signed by Columbia County Chair Sam Hodge, Lori Turgeson of Greene County, Michael Dupree and Julie Shiroshi of Dutchess County, and Kaylee McKenzie of Ulster County, and others. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that a Greenville property owner has stepped forward to donate a five-acre parcel to the town for the construction of a new rescue squad building. The town board unanimously on November 21st voted to approve the contract. Quote, the person has property on Irving Road, unquote, Town Supervisor Paul Macko said. Quote, they want to donate 5 acres of property for the town of Greenville to build a rescue squad building. They're basically donating the 5 acres for $1, and we will cover all the closing expenses, unquote. The town has declined to identify the donor. The Greenville Rescue Squad and the town entered into a new 5-year contract on November 9th, which included plans to construct a new emergency services building for the squad. The town has been considered a plot of town-owned land located behind the Greenville Public Library, but Macko said the Irving Road site is better situated to house the new structure. The property behind the library, quote, would have been a tough place to get in and out of in times of emergencies, especially with parking at the library, unquote, Macko said. Quote, I think the Irving Road property will afford us much safer and quicker conditions to get in and out, unquote. Town officials also established a building committee consisting of town board members John Benson and Will Von Atkinson, plus a couple of rescue squad members, to work through the details of the project. The building is expected to cost somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million, Macko said. Town attorney Tal Rapplier said he will start the process of acquiring the parcel. Read more about the story at theupstater.com. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul on November 23rd nominated attorney Kaylin Whittingham to serve on the Commission on Ethics and Lobbying in Government, the successor entity to the now-defunct Joint Commission on Public Ethics. Whittingham is a former president of the Association of Black Women Attorneys and the principal of her law firm. Her nomination will be subject to a review by a committee of law school deans before her appointment can be finalized. The panel is composed of appointees by the governor, attorney general, state comptroller, and legislative leaders from both parties in the state Senate and Assembly. Hochul previously nominated Michael Cardoza and Frederick Davey to serve on the panel. Both appointments were confirmed by the Independent Review Committee. Quote, I am pleased to nominate Ms. Whittingham for the committee's review and look forward to continuing our work to support the commission's efforts to restore trust in government, unquote, Hochul said. Good government organizations this week urged the final commission appointments to be made so it can begin its work in earnest before the start of 2023. Read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving from the better weather. It is Thursday, November 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 20 degrees in Steventown to 30 degrees in High Falls. Regional average soil temperature is 39 degrees. Closest expected snowfall today is 300 miles away north of Ottawa. Today will be cold but mostly sunny. A high of 48 happens at 2 p.m. Over the river and through the woods is looking pretty good. Travel conditions are favoring the procrastinators. Temperatures begin to dip around 4 p.m., really helping out nap time. Overnight, temperatures fall to only 37 degrees, keeping it above freezing for most. However, watch for some possible surface ice in the hills. And that's for anyone driving overnight. Tomorrow is looking rainy, especially in the morning. We get a high of 50 at 2 p.m. Overnight, rain tapers off as the temperature just kisses the freezing point before dawn. Saturday is looking dry with a high of 51. Sunday, high of 46 and the rain returns. Sunset today will be at 4:15 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:53 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are quiet. Flare chances are low. Largest expected nearest Earth object is only 28 meters wide. Won't even wake up the neighborhood if it hit. Solar system is calm and relaxed. Perhaps we can all take a lesson. Solar wind speed is currently 298 kilometers per second at 13 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 68. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dumplings. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
The United States, as the world knows, will never start a war. We do not want a war. We do not now expect a war. This generation of Americans has already had enough, more than enough, of war and hate and oppression.
Coming in from London, from over the pole, flying in a big airliner, chicken flying everywhere. Ever feel much finer coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man. There's a guy with a ticket to Mexico. No, he couldn't look much stranger, walking in a hall with his things and all, smiling, said it was a Lone Ranger coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man. Walking on the moving floor, tripping on the escalator. There's a man in the line and she's blowing his mind, thinking that he's already made her. Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man.
This is Ron Puhalski for WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties. And I'm speaking with my friend Alice Brock, who is over in Provincetown. How are you today, Alice?
I'm pretty good for an old lady.
Pretty good. Good. You sound terrific. I remember after being introduced to you by my friend Joe, your dad, introduced me to you in Provincetown when you were living in the East End, and It was just a lovely little apartment, and I think you had perhaps did you say you had been in that apartment many times from your childhood, I remember.
Yes.
We
actually lived in the downstairs apartment of that house.
Ah, okay.
When Joe worked for Peter Hunt, we were there every summer.
Terrific. And one of the things that sticks in my mind was that you were near a butcher who you were introduced me to. And you said it's always important to have the butcher as a friend.
Yes, and always make friends with your butcher.
Always. Anyhow, how did you get into the restaurant business, given that you were an activist and an artist, really?
It's nothing I ever wanted to do, but it was an idea for me that my mother had.
Ah.
I was living in the church, and there were a bunch of kids living with us, Arlo included. And I was cooking for all of them, lots of spaghetti. We didn't have any money. And my mother said, you know, you're cooking for all these kids. Nobody's giving you any money. Why don't you open a little restaurant? There's a diner for sale in Stockbridge. So I said, okay, that sounds good. What did I know?
What did you know? Well, I must say that I really enjoyed what I was up in Provincetown the first time you gave me a copy of your cookbook, which I still have and use till today. It's very straightforward, and I like the philosophy of your cooking, which is you can pretty much do anything with anything, no matter
right.
how little you have. If you don't have enough dishes, you can just get a hubcap for an extra one, I think you told me that one time.
I was pretty reckless in those days.
Yeah, but the best is, which I actually told my friend Marie this past week, who was having trouble making spring rolls and they were falling apart. I said, well, you just have to make believe that that's what you wanted them to be. And I think that is a good philosophy.
Bravado and confidence.
Exactly.
Covers a lot of ground.
Yes.
I lost my way down the line. Ain't been back home for some time. And all the memories left behind. And I sure do miss.
Husband and I, Ray, my ex-husband, we were working at a little private school up in the Berkshires, but it wasn't like other prep schools. It was very liberal and international and all of that stuff, and it wasn't even certified. That's how we got jobs there. I worked in the library, which pretty much means telling kids to shut up. You know, they get sent to the library because they're bad. Nobody
right.
goes to the library just for books. Not in school. So, and Ray taught shop. I always said he taught manly arts. And Arlo was one of the students. And Ray played the guitar, and of course Arlo played the guitar, and everybody was playing the guitar. It was, you know, the early 60s. And so he used to come over with a bunch of kids over to our little cottage on campus, and we all just used to sit around and sing songs and stuff like that. So we got to know him. And then we left the school after 1 year, and we were redoing the church. Again, my mother. She bought us the church as a wedding present.
Right.
She was in real... And the church wasn't insulated. It had been built in an area that they thought was going to be the main part of town, but for some reason, it wasn't the main part of town, and so there wasn't much of a congregation, but there was this huge building. And so it was for sale, and my mother thought, well, Ray's an architect. He can do something with it. And she bought it for us. So all the kids who, in the 60s, you know, kids went to college for about 2 weeks.
Right.
And then they hit the road. That was the way it was. And so Arlo went to college for 2 weeks and came back to the Berkshires and came and lived with us. And a lot of the kids did from Stockbridge School, and it was okay with their parents because we were teachers. And so that's how I got to know him.
A little drumming, a little singing.
Well, thank you, John. Just let me say it was mighty nice for me to have you over to the show. But before I go, something you ought to know.
What's that?
You can get anything you want. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back. About a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything that you want at Alice's restaurant.
Okay, listen, when you get time, I'd like to have you back. Okay?
I'll bring my phone and I'll be back.
Bring your guitar.
I'll bring my guitar.
In your car.
In my car. Cable. Can I bring my dog?
Your dog. Your crawl. Is that on the log?
Yeah, we'll do a monologue.
How about your cat? Bring that.
I'll bring my staff.
Was Alice's Restaurant his first recording?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was.
Uh-huh. How did the movie come about? I mean, Arthur Penn was the director of Bonnie and Clyde.
Well, you know, Arthur Penn lived in Stockbridge, where my little restaurant was, and he had eaten there a few times.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere along the line, he got hold of the song, and he thought it would make a great movie. He had done Bonnie and Clyde, and he was doing kind of an Americana series. So he just took a lot of liberties with our lives, and there was the movie.
I'm Arlo Guthrie, and you've probably listened to or heard about a thing called Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. And now, it's the name of a movie based on my song about Alice's Restaurant.
You hit me, perversion!
What's that funny smell?
What funny smell?
It's all about that beautiful Thanksgiving dinner, which produced an incredible, amazing pile of garbage, which we tried real hard to dump at the dump. So I'm inviting all of you to meet me and Alice and Ray and Officer Obi and all kinds of groovy people doing all kinds of groovy things that are all part of the Alice's Restaurant anti-massacre movement that you can join by digging this film or by singing the song in four-part harmony with feeling. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
Yeah.
your route, I will call it, from Brooklyn to the Berkshires to Provincetown. That's a pretty interesting history to me. You were quite an activist in New York City. I remember you were involved with one of the Cuban groups, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. I was a big fan of Castro.
Right.
And I still am. But Cuba was dreadful. And what he did was just miraculous.
Planes of his own country's airline have been impounded for debts since they landed in this country. The scene at the airport offered the confusion that has come to be associated with the comings and goings of the Cuban leader. And here's how it looked and sounded.
You took our airplanes. Here in the United States, the authority robbed our airplanes. And the Soviet claimed their airplane.
That is the American people are not your friends?
The American people, I think, is good people.
But the American authority?
Yes, they have not to charge with the guilty of all the lies that publicity fell to them. The people of the United States is good people. Harlem Piper is wonderful people. You, the reporters, are wonderful. You, the writers, are wonderful. But you are not the owners. The newspaper belongs to the monopoly here.
And, of course, nobody's been told the truth about them.
Right.
Because we hold sway over most of those smaller islands and South America, Central America, Africa. They are all full of dictators that have been set up by the United States or some other large country with a lot of power. And it was just a nightmare. You know, they didn't have their own fresh vegetables because everything was owned by Dole Fruit and those big companies, and it was stuff was grown and canned right there and sent to America, and they had to go and when they went to the grocery store, they had to buy canned stuff from America. But of course it was worse than that. Batista was a monster and murdered a lot of people, like some of the dictators in the Mideast are murdering people now.
Exactly. It still goes on.
So I was very politically active. It was the 60s, and we were all anti-war, anti-draft, anti-nuclear, and we were all for civil rights, and it just was a big package.
Think of the vote in Colorado and Washington regarding marijuana in this last election.
I think it's a great idea because it's
the war on drugs, it's a war, all right, but it's really a war on poor young people who are selling a few joints, and they get put in jail. And so many people are in jail for a little bit of marijuana that it's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining so many lives. And if it was made legal, then it could be taxed like everything else. And I bet they could raise enough tax money on marijuana sales to get us out of debt. And also, I think it's a terrific drug, really, if memory serves.
And if you go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hookah smoking caterpillar has given you.
Well, I do. Yes, I agree. I hope that it really, I mean, we certainly have these problems up in this area where they'll bust someone for six plants on their back porch. And it's a total, you know, waste of resources and ruin someone's life for nothing.
Yeah, really.
That's
for nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, I think shoplifting is probably worse or vandalism. But smoking pot, it's not hurting anybody.
No.
And the thing is, all these attempts have not worked. People are doing drugs if they want to do drugs, just like people drink alcohol.
Exactly.
And look at the tax they put on alcohol.
Right.
Makes those states rich.
Yeah. I mean, that was the prohibition period, you know, that I think is why it was repealed. Mainly because of taxes and revenue.
Ron, this is a capitalist country.
Yes.
And that means the most important thing is the bottom line.
The dollar.
And if money can be made, anything's okay.
Jumping back a bit to Provincetown, I mean, your history in Provincetown goes back a lot longer than just the past 20, 30 years. I mean, I must say that the your studio where you are now, I remember, it had been a chapel or something, and I had a real good time.
I might have a calling.
Yes.
There used to be a private chapel in this house, and I still have some of the stuff from it.
Yeah. I remember
that. Just amazing. It was consecrated by a bishop from New Bedford. So maybe I'm a secret holy person.
Have you ever thought of starting your own religion?
I do have my own religion, actually. But I don't go out and preach it to everybody. But I live...
You live it.
...according to my rules and not anybody else's. And that's why I'm poor and happy.
I remember the house was chock-a-block from the basement to the top with so many things and loading them a couple of times, going down to Wellfleet to the flea market. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I enjoyed that. Well, we had to buy the house furnished with everything in it, and there was some pretty strange stuff in it. I mean, the chapel was, you know, there was an altar and a prie-dieu and a baptismal font and all the stations of the cross, and then the whole house was full of all these strange religious icons, and the guy was a very religious person. He was French-Canadian Catholic, and he had a kind of a, I don't know, kind of a gruesome approach to religion, because all these martyred saints, he painted pictures of these martyred saints that had their eyes poked out with hot pokers, and it was kind of gory. Good flea market.
Yes, indeed. And so what are you up to with your art now? Are you still doing any of the beach rocks, which I think are, you know, just magnificent?
Oh, yeah, I do beach rocks, and I draw on rocks. I've been doing that for about 40 years or more, and but I always used to just kind of throw them back on the beach. I really enjoy the idea of putting them, and I still do put them, I drop them in people's gardens or in a coat pocket that where somebody's jacket is hanging up, or supermarket. It's fun. It's so fun to think about people finding them. I've met people who have found them in some pretty far out places, too.
Right.
Then when I moved to Provincetown, at one point, I started selling them. And now that I have a little gallery in the downstairs of my house, and I also have a website, alicebrock.com. I sell the beach stones on there, and I also have paintings, some books that I've written, and right now I'm even selling some memorabilia from my restaurants and posters and strange things that I've accumulated.
The beach rocks are like street art on the beach.
Yes.
I think. And, well, I think it's great that you have the site that people can also kind of check out what you're up to.
And I'm also going to mention it on Facebook, which has turned into a nightmare.
Yes.
Probably for a lot of us. And, of course, I have stuff hanging up in the gallery. Some of it's pretty funny.
Is How to Massage Your Cat still in print?
Well, actually, it just went out of print. But I loaded up on them, so they're still available for me, and I would be glad to autograph them to anybody who wants one.
Super.
You can
well,
get them at my website, or if you come to Provincetown, of course, you get to meet the real thing, and I'll...
Yes, 69 Commercial Street, correct?
Yes, 69 Commercial Street, in what they call the West End.
The West End, yes. You've always been an artist first. That's the and the true... to your heart and soul, I think.
Oh, yes. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I drew pictures, I made up stories and illustrated them. I did all kinds of things with odds and ends that I picked up. I used to carve little figures out of sticks of chalk, and I made movies out of adding machine tapes. I made two slits in a shoebox, and I would pull this tape through, and it had little pictures on it that told a story. So I've always been doing that, and I've always wanted to live in Provincetown. This was my plan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not that I really had a plan, but my heart's desire was to live in Provincetown and be an artist.
And you began in Provincetown. Yeah. You followed your heart, and that's the way to go.
Exactly so. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and he said, well, how much have you changed? Do you think? I said, I don't think I've changed at all. I have very strict standards of behavior and the approach to life and how you treat people. And whether it's popular or whether it does me any good or whether it's old-fashioned. I don't really care. I live by my own rights, and I do what I think is right, not what's popular or what's going to make me money, huh?
So what are you up to this week for the holiday this year? Are you going to, you know, relax a little bit?
Well, I'm going to have Thanksgiving here in Provincetown with some friends. I'd love to go to the Berkshires because all my, you know, we're still all friends. All the people from the 60s were just always in touch with each other and there for each other. And every Thanksgiving, a friend, Benno Friedman, throws a big Thanksgiving dinner party, which has gotten so huge because now everybody has children and grandchildren, and there's hardly any room at the table anymore.
Uh-huh.
There must be about 60 or 70 people. Everybody makes something, and it's a great party, just a great party. People come, you know, people are in Boston, people are in New York, and people are in California. Even people who live in Europe come over for the Thanksgiving. It's really special.
Soul food. Talking about soul food. Candied yams, hot biscuits, and big fat juicy hams. Soul food. Talking about soul food. Collard greens, hot cornbread.
Back to thinking about music, talking about music a bit again. Did you know and have be friends with and hang out with other musicians besides Arlo back in the day?
Not too many that are famous now.
Uh-huh.
My dear friend Rick Robbins, who was actually the guy who dumped the garbage with Arlo. It wasn't the guy in the movie.
Ah.
He writes his own music and plays the guitar, and he's got a few CDs out.
I'm gonna stick around, don't have to go. I think I'll go down the street just to see where it goes. I could get to like this town, you never know. Hey, there's a theater down there, I wonder what's on tonight. I haven't seen a good show in a while. Maybe it'll be all right. You never know. You never know. You never know. You never know what might happen. Everything could change in the next 5 seconds. You never know. From day to day, you never know.
Let's see, who else?
I remember you talking about, I think, Dave Van Ronk one time where we were listening to some of his music, I think.
When I came back from Luang Prabang, I didn't have a thing where my balls used to hang, but I had a wooden medal and a fine harangue. Now I'm a fucking hero. Mourn your dead land of the free. If you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free. If you wanna be a hero, follow me. And now the boys all envy me. I fought for Christian democracy with nothing but air where my balls used to be. Now I'm a fucking hero. Mourn your dead land of the free. If you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free. You wanna be a hero, follow me. Like 1 in 20 cannon thunder into the bloody wild blue yonder for a patriotic ballless wonder. Now I'm a fucking hero. Mourn your dead land of the free. If you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free. You wanna be a hero, follow me. In Luang Prabang there is a spot where the corpses of your brothers rot. And every corpse is a patriot. Every corpse is a hero. Mourn your dead land of the free. If you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free. You wanna be a hero, follow me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I met him. I wasn't really good friends with him, but I met him in the village when I was just 18 or something, or younger. The way I met him was, you know, people say, can I crash at your pad tonight. So I was in New York, and I guess I didn't have my own place to live. So one night I found myself crashing at his pad, and that was fun. But I'm sure people have become famous or were famous, but I didn't know it then.
Well, sometimes the way I feel, it's just great to be around, and I'm not an artist, but around artists or musicians, and it's not a matter of how famous they are necessarily. It's just, you know, that they're living their life as they need to and their desires, and they find that to be so important.
That's exactly true. I think, you know, those are people who have a passion.
Yeah.
They really have a passion. Well, maybe now there are kids who want to be rock stars, and they don't even care about music. They just want to have their face on television.
Uh-huh.
But basically, artists are, they're very creative people with a real passion for what they're doing. And so they're exciting to be around. My house is on the water, and I'm facing a little spit of sand out in Cape Cod Bay with a lighthouse on it.
Yeah, Long Point, I think.
And there's no road out there. You have to walk out there. And
right.
It's quite a walk. That's where I was conceived.
Okay.
So I think I really started in Provincetown, and I hope to end up in Provincetown.
Okay. Well, I hope you get out to the Berkshires again soon. And maybe next year.
And I want to get to Hudson, too.
Definitely.
And maybe Athens.
Enjoy the season and your work in particular. And thanks for talking with us. We're really thankful.
Well, I hope all your listeners have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I hope there are no lumps in your gravy.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Alice.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. You shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
This is Ron Puhalski. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with my friend Alice Brock, artist, activist, and inspiration for the protest song Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. Now we're going to hear the full-length original version of Alice's Restaurant, recorded in 1967. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fatsha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. Said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And that's what we did, and sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obi, I can understand you wanting my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obi, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure, and friends Obi was, cause he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll and have an escape. Obi was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi came in with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the CNI dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the CNI dog. And then at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obi came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the, I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to kill. Kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And I started jumping up and